got to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
Biggie.
Hey, Cam, thanks a lot for coming to my school today.
No problem, Nate.
I promise to exercise and eat right.
Don't forget 60 minutes of play a day, right?
And I'll grow up to be big and strong like you.
Absolutely.
And play in the NFL.
Yes, sir.
And be drafted number one.
Maybe.
And become the starting quarterback of the Panthers.
Okay.
You can be my backup.
Excuse me?
And make Panthers fans forget about you.
What?
And become your mom's favorite player.
Whoa.
Thousand North Carolina families are affected by autism. One out of every 110 children born today will be diagnosed with autism. If you have any questions or need support, we can help. The Autism Society of North Carolina can be reached at 800-442-2762. Again, that's 800-442-2762. Remember, 60,000 North Carolina families are affected by autism, and one out of every 110 children born will be diagnosed with autism as well. If you need to reach them by the web, the address is www.autismsociety-nc.org. You can also reach them on Facebook, Twitter, and you can reach them on YouTube. Love somebody today.
They just don't care. you know, they're just kind of out there. They're just kind of around. And this is not a direct knock to anybody. You know, I'm not making this knock to try to knock anybody that I know or anybody that I've seen. But what I'm trying to do is simply talk about what these children are facing, you know, what really goes on. I'm just keeping it 100 about what really goes on. And I know a lot of parents out there see it as well. And to me, you know, if you're not out there to be beneficial to all children, if you're not out there to do something positive, to be a positive role model, to be a spark in some child's life and hope to mentor them and inspire them to do something great one day and to be a better person one day, you know, because everything has to have balance. And, you know, that's a large part of what's wrong with this country today. That's a large part of what's wrong with society, period. Not even in this country, just society, period. You know, we don't have much balance anymore. We go about our lives not paying attention to anything outside of our box. And I don't know if you want to look like I do, but, you know, I'm always paying attention to what's going on around me. I mind my business, but I'm also paying attention to what's going on around me. And I don't know if you guys pay attention like I do, but a lot of people are so caught up in their box, in their cell phone box, that they can barely cross the street. You know, if there's a meteor, if there's a UFO in the middle of the street above our house or above the crowd, if we're somewhere in public, you know, most people wouldn't notice. And the people that are noticing, most of them are taking pictures. You know, they're taking pictures of it with that same box that we're so caught up into. And, you know, this kind of mindset is a cancer to society. This kind of a mindset is a cancer to just how we live. You know, it's a cancer to humanity. And it's slowly eating away at just our lives in general. You know, we're slowly eating away at how we live and how we respond and how we interact with each other. Because you can't get people out of their cell phones. You can't stop folks from taking pictures with their cell phones, or you can't stop folks from browsing on the internet. And, you know, this is what we deal with. This is the life that we're in. So, you know, I hope that, you know, what I do in mentoring and being out in the community and attending these events and talking to people and inspiring, at least trying my best to inspire, you know, a lot of these, especially children out here. I mean, I try to inspire adults too. And some of the stories that people share on social media, which is what I use it for, advertisement, communication, you know, just keeping up. But, you know, a lot of the stories that people share, they inspire me. You know, they inspire me. So I can use those stories. I appreciate those positive stories or those positive notes that people post and, you know, things like that that people put on the social media sites, the Twitters, the Facebooks, the Instagrams, so on and so on, LinkedIn, and et cetera. You know, I appreciate what people have to offer, the positive that people have to offer, you know, and I'm one person that builds on that positive. So, you know, we got to get rid of these cancers that are slowly killing the way we live and the way we interact. You know, we have to slowly get rid of these things, and we got to turn a leaf over if we haven't already. We got to make our mind up to understand that, you know, we got to do something positive. We got to do something better. And inspiration to people in the public, you know, speaking, saying hello, paying attention to someone's face. You know, there's a lot of people out here hurting. So, you know, just paying attention to someone's face or paying attention to our surroundings. If we can only offer that portion of our lives to society, that portion of our lives to humanity, you know, I feel that that's what we need to do. You know, that's what we owe. That can be our contribution to society. And, you know, just that little bit can help help the world be a better place. I really think so. So, you know, that's what keeps me going. You know, that's why I coach these children. You know, that's why I'm committed to loving people, committed to trying to give off a positive aura. you know, committed to having a positive message. You know, I do a few speaking engagements. I do a lot of speaking engagements, and I'm not the best speaker in the world. And obviously, you guys listen to the KRP radio show, so obviously you know, I'm not the best speaker in the world, and I never claim to be. But, you know, one thing that I do is I set out to be a beacon of light, a beacon of hope, you know, a beacon, a ball of positive energy, a ball of love. You know, I set out to do that, and for me, you know, I don't have to be the best speaker. I don't have to be, you know, the Dr. Fields. I don't have to be the most educated, even though I support as much education as you can get. I'm definitely an advocate of continuing education. You know, go as far as you can with education to keep getting it, keep getting it, keep getting it. But what I'm saying is what I do and what some people might say that I'm good at comes natural because it's something that I believe. You know, it's something that I feel good about. You know, I have no qualms about it. It's just me, you know, going out there showing people a lot of love. And you know, it just comes natural to me, folks. So, you know, I don't have to be the best speaker in the world. I don't have to be, you know, this person. I don't have to be like that person. Because what I'm doing, I'm offering up my heart. I'm dedicating myself and I'm offering my heart to people. And you know, that's what I do when I go places and, you know, I speak to crowds and when I have these speaking engagements. You know, that's what I try to do. Those are the things that I like to do. And coming up real soon on September, get that date, Nicole, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's September 26th. I'm going to be in Carrabba's County and with Jan Morgan. You know, shout out to Jan Morgan, a beautiful individual who believes in freedom, Fourth Amendment. You know, she's definitely a wonderful person. And Jan Morgan always has a positive message. I mean, she's always speaking to the crowd from her heart. You know, she's always trying to inspire people. You know, she definitely has a strong message. And excuse me, I think I said false before, but she's a Second Amendment advocate. And you know, Jan Morgan is a wonderful person. So, you know, I'll be speaking September 26th at Troutman's Barbecue on Highway 601 in Carrabba's County, and it's at 6:30 p.m. I hope that you guys will come out and check us out. You guys who are in the Charlotte or in Mecklenburg County area, Carrabba's County area, you know, they're very close. You know, I hope that you all will come out and support this event. And, you know, Jan and I will definitely be there, and we'll be sharing, you know, what our message is to the people, and we will definitely be showing a lot of love to folks. So if you want to RSVP for this event, make sure you contact Sean McGowan at 704-957-6968 or contact Adi Christ at ctc.net, or you can just simply go to Eventbrite and you can get more information about it. And, you know, it's American Liberty. It's an American Liberty celebration. It's on Thursday, September 26th. Starts at 6:30 p.m. at Traveler's Barbecue. That's on Highway 601. So you guys make sure you check that out. I hope to see you guys there. And I will definitely be in the house sharing my message of love and sharing the message that I do have and talking about some things that I've experienced in my life and, you know, just sharing some positive energy, hoping to be able to do something positive, you know, for people to go forth in the remainder of their lives, hoping to inspire somebody so that they'll go forth the very next day and, you know, make a difference, man. We all can make a difference. I always say that. I don't know if people really believe that, but, you know, I know that we can all make a difference if we just set our minds to it, if we just, you know, you got to give it a shot, man. You got to give it a shot. And, you know, that's what we're going to do, man. We're going to go out there and try to inspire some people to make a difference. And maybe someone will inspire us in hopes that we can continue to make a difference in the lives and in the hearts of others and continue to, you know, to go on speaking the truth and be a beacon of light and truth. There's a lot of things going on out here today, man. Our president, I think people who have listened to the show before, and shout out to all the new listeners out there, thanks for tuning in to the KRP Radio Show, 619-638-8559. We are experiencing technical difficulties, so I am not sure if people can get on via phone. But, you know, we're going to try our best to do our thing, man. We're going to try to keep going on with this and making it happen. And so if you can get on by phone, beautiful. If you can't, you know, contact us on Skype. You can also check us out on krpradioshow.com. And hopefully you guys can get on via the KRP Radio Show site on krpradioshow.com. If you can't get on through there, try blogtalk.com/KRP Radio Show and give us a shot on there. Give us a shout out. Let us know what's going on. Let us know that you can listen to the show. We definitely appreciate it. If you can't get us through that, check us out on Facebook. That's facebook.com/KIRP Radio Show. And, you know, or Twitter, @KIRP Radio Show. And hit us up on there. Let us know that you're listening to us, that you can hear us loud and clear. And, you know, just let us know what's on your mind, what's on your heart. And, you know, try to interact with this man. We would definitely appreciate that much. That's a beautiful thing. Anyway, there's a lot of things that are going on right now all over this country. And I think the hot topic of this nation is Syria. Now, you know, for you all that are not paying attention, there have been ships that has been dispatched to the Mediterranean Sea. They've been in the Med Sea for some days now, up to a week now, I believe. And, you know, there's a lot of people who are thinking that we need to be in Syria. We need to help Syria. You know, we need to invade this country and fight their civil war. Now, I'm not the first person, you know, I'm not going to be the one that says, you know, let those people die. I'm not that guy. I'm not the one to say let those people die. I'm not the one to say, you know, they deserve what they get. It's their war, whatever, whatever. I'm not that harsh because, you know, frankly, I still love people. So, you know, I don't want those people to die in that civil war that they're fighting, that they're facing. I really don't want them to go through that. However, it's also not my place to say that we should send, you know, 100 to 400,000 troops into Syria and invoke the United States of America into someone else's civil war. The Obama administration insists, you know, its case for military action against Assad's regime is getting stronger. You know, they're saying that now they have evidence that toxic gas was allegedly used in the strikes on rebel-held areas where, you know, using the nerve agent sarin, I think it's called, sarin. The Obama administration also predicted that, you know, predicted Sunday it would attain congressional backing for limited strikes, after days of getting close to military action in Syria. Yesterday, the president suddenly announced that he would first seek approval from Congress, which will come back September, I think, 8th or 9th, come back from their break on September 9th, actually. And so the president says he's going after congressional support before jumping into this thing. And I'm just not buying it. Like, I don't believe it. We'll see what happens you know, we'll definitely see what will happen. But here's the facts, folks. We're already there. You know, whether we like it or not, we are already there. You know, we're already in the Med Sea. We already have the warplanes on the ship. You know, we're already ready to go. Despite of what Congress says, you know, we're already at stage one of fighting this Syrian civil war. You know, we're already into it. So whether we like it or not, whether Congress says let's do it or not do it, you know, I just don't believe that if Congress doesn't grant the power to go to war, I don't believe that the president will call the dogs off. I just don't believe it. I think that the president has strongly made his case for action in Syria. And you know, see, and that's what's crazy. Like, these are the same things that people criticized President George Bush for. You know, same topics. These are the very same actions that people said President Bush took when he was looking for weapons of mass destruction. Now, last Thursday, the president got some resistance after making plans to, making plans for the military strike against Syria, with lawmakers in the U.S. and Britain demanding that, you know, they needed to see more proof that Bashar Assad's government, you know, perpetrated the deadly chemical weapons attack. You know, so right there shows you that, you know, with the Obama administration making this case before having all-out proof, you know, that these weapons were used, which I do believe the weapons were used. Don't get it twisted. I think Assad did whatever he wanted to do, and he didn't worry about America because of his relationship that people just don't want to admit, the relationship that he already had with President Obama, which is fact right now. So, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, people. Like, at this point, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, right now it's likely that an American military operation could happen without a formal authorization of Capitol Hill, because they're already there. That's my point. And all the United Nations, screw them. But, you know, Russia had blocked efforts to seek a resolution, you know, authorizing use of force. So did China, you know, and Britain and France. You know, they got in there and they said, you know, we needed to see more proof. So at the end of the day, we're already ready to go. Like, our finger is already pointed and ready to pull the trigger. And I just don't believe that the president has enough balls, pardon my language, but you guys know it's KRP Radio Show, you know how I get down, but I don't believe the president has enough gonads to put his weapon down. I think that it's going to be the same things that happened in Africa before, you know, in South Africa. I think we're going to go back in, you know, somehow military troops, American military troops will hit the ground, and somehow somebody somewhere from America, that's a troop, will end up fighting. That's just what I believe. You know, despite what Congress says, despite congressional support or not. So here we are in the verge of another war. And I'm wondering, I want to know what people feel about it, you know, how people feel about it. You know, but right now, I got to go to a commercial, folks. And you listen to the KRP Radio Show, 619-638-8559. We are having technical difficulties, and I apologize. I'm so sorry. That's what's going on. There's nothing I can do about it. There are storms all over. There's a lot of rain. There's some power outages. And, you know, it's not much that I can do about it right now, but you know, we're going to work through it, man. Thanks for rocking with the KRP Radio Show, 619-638-8559. If you guys have Twitter, check us out on Twitter. That's @ KRP Radio Show, @ NC Pudgy. Checking us out on Twitter. That's who we are. That's where we are. Also, if you guys have Facebook, check us out on Facebook. That's facebook.com/ KRP Radio Show. Hit us up on Facebook. Let us know what you think. And We're all over the place, man. Thanks for listening to the KLP Radio Show. We'll be right back after these messages. You rocking with your boy Pussy. We'll be right back.
How many more innocent people?
How many more?
How many more?
What has been the number one cause of unnatural death in history?
Democide, or death by government, has killed 290 million people on record.
Look it up. Go look it up. In the 20th century, government murdered four times as many people as were killed in all the international and domestic wars combined.
USSR, 61,911,000 people killed.
Hitler's Germany, nearly 21 million people killed.
Japan's imperialism, nearly 6 million people killed.
Western colonization killed over 50 million people.
Pol Pot's Cambodia, funded by the U.S. government, 2 million people killed.
China's Communist Party, as many as 76 million people killed between 1949 and 1987.
And the list goes on and on.
Demand to know why the Department of Homeland Security bought more than 1.6 billion hollow point bullets.
How many more people does government have to kill?
Enough.
Enough.
Demand an end to citizen disarmament.
As an American. As an American citizen.
As a patriot.
For your children.
Enough of the people laying down and letting government kill them en masse after disarming them, as they've done throughout history over and over again.
Now is the time.
It's time.
It's time to realize that when the government takes your guns, people die.
It's time to realize the biggest threat to you and your family is government.
It's time to recognize government is the greatest killer of all time.
Demand they show you the word hunting in the Second Amendment.
Demand our politicians uphold the Constitution and Bill of Rights as they swore to when they took office.
It's time for our leaders to read the Constitution.
It's time for our leaders to obey the Constitution.
The Constitution.
The Constitution.
Because a well-regulated militia with 10-round magazines wouldn't last very long.
So now you know the most dangerous thing to you and your family in the world is government.
Because mass murderers agree, gun control works. Wait.
Remember this number, 9.8. That's not the time on the shot clock. For the seconds left in the game, it's not the number of times I will light you up. Nah, 9.8 isn't any of that. It's ounces. And that makes this the lightest ever.
For all your trucking needs, make sure you contact Allen's Trucking LLC. That's Allen's Trucking LLC, owner Brian Allen and BA Welding Incorporated. For all your trucking or your welding needs or transportation needs across the country, make sure you contact Allen's Trucking LLC out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Their number is 919-426-5455. Again, 919-426-5455. If you have transportation needs and you need to get your equipment there on time, make sure you contact Allen's Trucking LLC.
Hey Cam, thanks a lot for coming to my school today.
No problem, Nate.
I promise to exercise and eat right.
Don't forget 60 minutes to play a day, right?
And I'll grow up to be big and strong like you.
Absolutely.
And play in the NFL.
Yes, sir.
And be drafted number one.
Maybe.
And become the starting quarterback of the Panthers.
Okay.
You can be my backup.
Excuse me?
And make Panthers fans forget about you.
What?
And become your mom's favorite player.
Whoa.
Some people say, good things come to those who wait. Truth is, good things come to those who work. Who work later. And work harder. They're willing to go farther than anyone else to get them. If you're waiting for good things to come to you, you'll be waiting for a pretty long time.
This is LA. This is what we do.
You don't call yourself a superstar. That's for other people to say. And you don't come out the South Side without a few people having your back. Chicago is my home, my love. It's our time. This is a story about my family, my team, my roots. This is a story of D. Rose. And this is only the beginning. I'm all in.
Welcome back, folks, to the KIRP Radio Show. My apologies. As I said before, you know, we got storms going on all over the place. So we're experiencing some technical difficulties, and I definitely apologize for that. Shout out to everybody out there who's listening to the show online, man. I see we got some faithful people out there who've been hitting us up all through the night. And shout out to Nicole. She's definitely overwhelmed trying to get back at people. Letting us know that, you know, the lines are down, the lines are crossed, or what may have you. So, you know, big shout out to you guys for continuing listening, man. I know how difficult it must be. Trust me, it is difficult on my side as well, especially going through this whole first hour, trying to figure it out and trying to host the show at the same time. But, you know, we got some help tonight, and I appreciate you folks helping us out, especially my people on the West Coast. Shout out to you. Listen. If you guys have Facebook, make sure you check us out on Facebook. That's facebook.com/KIRP Radio Show. Make sure you give us a like. Let us know what's going on in your life. Communicate with us. We also have some giveaways, and we do some questionnaires, and, you know, we try to do some polls and things like that. So definitely continue to interact with us on the Facebook page. And also on Twitter, if you guys have Twitter, check us out on Twitter. That's @KIRP Radio Show and @NC Pudgy. That's my personal. We have LinkedIn, or I'm on LinkedIn as a professional profile. And, you know, a host of other things we got going on, man. So check us out. We are all over the net. And for all my iPhone havers or my iPhone users or whatever you want to call it, you know, you can check us out on iTunes. And we have a podcast on there where you can check all the shows in the past. And you'll be able to check all the shows in the future by logging on to iTunes, podcast, KIRP, radio, and show. Make sure you put it in the three words, or just search KIRP, or you can just Google KIRP in iTunes, and it will pop up. That will link you to the KIRP radio show. And that's a beautiful thing, man. You know, we got a lot of people who haven't really listened to the show in its entirety, but they have tuned in because they've Googled us, or, you know, they called an episode, or, you know, someone told them to check out the show, man. And that's how this show has grown to over 13 million listeners, and I definitely appreciate that. Very close to 14 million. And, you know, there's not big numbers on the FM stations, but it's big numbers to me. And so all my the word on, let a friend know, tell a family member or whatever. You know, even if you don't agree with all the things that I say on this show, you can definitely listen and get some of the knowledge that we give off, or some of the information that we get off, give off, or listen to some of the guests that we have on, and you can gain some knowledge from what they have to offer as well. And, you know, I try to sway away from the so built-up celebrity types. I do it purposely. I know your PR departments and they love Free Press, and they'll come on and they'll speak about what they have going on, but we got enough outlets for that already. You know, there's some people out here on the ground in the community that are working their butts off, that are spreading their message, that are talking about things that are relevant. You know, there's people out here on the ground that write books. There's authors out here that are on the bestsellers list. And I like to have those people. You know, there are people that speak at these, you know, as I said earlier in the show, there are people that speak at events all over this country every day of the week. And I like to have those people on. But, you know, I can do without the super huge egos of the celebrity type. So, you know, shout out to the celebrities anyway. You know, I don't diss them. I'm not saying that, you know, they're not worthy of coming on the show, that this show was so special that, you know, we can't have them on this show because they're not worthy or anything like that. I have absolutely nothing against these people. But I'm just saying we have enough platforms, and this platform is more so for people who are up and coming, people who are hitting the ground running, who are not really looking to be some super celebrity. But, hey, if they stumble on it, hey, oh, well, that's pretty good. If we already had a relationship, you know, I would like to continue that relationship. But, you know, frankly, this show is for the everyday Joe, who's out there, the blue collar, you know, who's out there getting the job done in this country, man, and trying to shine some positive light. Speaking of that positive light, I got to give another drop, and I know I talked about this earlier for probably 15, 20 minutes, but I don't know who caught it show, who caught the show, or who couldn't get on, or what may have you. So, you know, I'm going to mention again the American Liberty Celebration, Carrabas County Republican Party funding this event. Fundraising event for them, September 26th, 6:30 p.m. I will be in the house alongside of Jan Morgan. Jan Morgan, as I said before, a beautiful person, well-spoken, a cheerleader for liberty in America. You know, a head cheerleader for liberty in America. And she's out there and she's spreading a message, man. Jan Morgan is a Second Amendment advocate. She's a nationally known journalist and NRA certified firearms instructor. So, you know, Jan not only knows what's going on, but she probably can kick your butt. And if she can't kick your butt, she shoots the kneecaps off. So that's my type of woman. Anyway, make sure you guys check that out. I'll be there. Jan will be there. And the CIP choir, they'll be singing patriotic music. The American Liberty Celebration. Get there early, folks. Get there early because it's a Thursday night. It's at 6:30 p.m. I'm going to be there, but you know what? It's a school night. So yeah, make sure you get there early. Look for me. Look for Jan. We'll definitely be there. And, you know, we're trying to go there, and we're going to spread our message, man, and show a lot of love. So, again, that's September 26th at 6:30 p.m. That's in Carrabas County. So all my Mecklenburg folks, I hope to see you guys there. All my people are in Huntersville, Mecklenburg County, Charlotte, you guys, I'm hoping to see all of you there because it's very close. All my Greensboro people, Winston-Salem people, I'm hoping to see you guys there too because it's really close. So, you know, get there early, and, you know, maybe I'll have some KRP radio shirts that I could give out or sell to you guys at a discount, and maybe we can donate the money to the Carrabas County Republican Party because this is a fundraiser event. It's $25 per person. It'll be a buffet of roast beef, Italian-style chicken breasts, and much, much, much more food. So make sure you guys get out there early, get yourself a plate, have a seat, and enjoy some good old-fashioned conversation. So I was talking about Syria earlier, and I just want to scale this back a little bit. Like, let's scale it back. We're getting ready to have a guest on, Audie Christ. She actually is the person who's partly responsible for this fundraiser in Carrabas County. An amazing woman, a brilliant woman with a message and a heart of gold. And you guys are going to hear exactly where she's coming from. So get your pens and your pads ready because she's like a book. You know, she always has And she's written a few books, too, a couple that I know of, one that I have not finished reading yet. Please don't beat me up, Ms. Christ. But, you know, get your pens and your paper ready. As T.O. said, get your popcorn ready. Because welcome to the show, none other than Audie Christ. Welcome to the show, Audie. How you doing?
Oh, thank you. I'm glad I was able to get through. I tried for an hour, and I couldn't get anywhere. So I'm glad to be on. And the event is the county is called Cabarrus County. I appreciate you, you know, mentioning that. The event should be on Eventbrite. If not, they can contact me to get their tickets. And we are so looking forward to having you speak to us and give an inspirational message while you're here.
Beautiful. So I don't know if you guys caught that. I'm getting some sounds like you're breaking up really, really, really bad. But if you guys would like more information about is it Cabarrus County? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
that's contact Sean McGowan.
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Yes. At okay, times so, you're really breaking up too, and so we just have to make do with what the weather has given us.
Uh-oh. I know that's right, and I'm not one to complain.
Yeah. But it is Cabarrus County. So, the Cabarrus County Republican Party, you can go to their website. The chairman is Sean McGowan, and he can give more information. But the website should be up. I thought it was up today, but I couldn't find it. So it should be up probably by Tuesday after the holidays on Eventbrite.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. So we'll definitely be looking for that, and we'll be broadcasting that really heavy the week of or the week before the event. I think that's what my folks said. They'll be posting on the Facebooks and the Twitter, so everybody be looking out for that. Just let's move along a little bit. So I was talking about Syria earlier, but I wanted to downscale this and scale it back a little bit, and let's come back to America for a second.
Okay.
There's a lot of things going on in this nation. And I got a bunch of notes here, but I'm going to let you tell it because you do a better job than I do. Talking about Common Core, there's a lot of people confused about Common Core. I think the reason so many people fall for this is because it's almost a hidden agenda. It is a hidden agenda, and it's invoked in this country and in our hearts and our minds so many different ways, but people aren't really paying attention to what's going on. So if you could paint the picture and give some definition of and explain what Common Core is, you know, that would be absolutely great. I'll shut my mouth here a little bit and let you talk.
Okay. It's kind of, let me give you a picture. It's kind of like you have a light snow and it's falling. And then when you have enough of it, you can make a snowball. And then when you throw it, and you're on a mountainside, eventually it turns into an avalanche, and at the bottom it just splashes. And that is where we are right now with Common Core. It was started a long time ago. The most recent dates and so on where I'm going to start is in 1994. And most people just react to the splash of what Common Core has done, but you really have to go back and see where it started. And the federal government in 1994 took control of the nation's curriculum by the means of three bills that Congress passed, and then it was signed into law by President Clinton. And there were three bills were, one of them called is GOLDS 2000, Educate America Act, commonly known as GOLDS 2000, that was number one. Number two, the School to Work Opportunities Act. And then number three, the funding or appropriations for the federal education program. And that bill is known as H.R. 6. And the overall effect of these interconnected bills was that the state and local governments could no longer determine education policy. But then after it was signed into law, the federal government would then be in charge of all education policy in the U.S., including curriculum, even though the 10th Amendment to the Constitution stipulates that education is reserved for the state and local governments. And an organization is called a non-governmental organization, Center for Civics Education. That has been designated by federal law to write all federal education standards for civics and government. This one organization will determine by force of federal law what must be taught in all our nation's schools regarding civics and government. And this single organization would dictate what was true and what was important in these academic areas. There would be no review of its dictates by Congress. There would be no review of its dictates by American citizens. Our schools would have nothing to say about what this one group determined was true and important regarding civics and government. And this one organization would determine the new national curriculum in the areas, and no one else would have anything to say about it. And, you know, what's amazing is that such a law could be passed in a free country. There was no allowance for public debate. There was no concern for the 10th Amendment to the Constitution. And you know, how could such a law pass in Congress? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, Ali.
Okay.
Listening to you. We're trying to.
Well, so how could such a law pass? And the reason that it could pass is that most of the senators and representatives never read the fine print of this bill, and most other bills that number over 1,000 pages, and they relied on the staff and congressional leadership to tell them what is in the bill. They didn't realize the significance, or if anybody knew, they didn't tell them. And if they had read it themselves, it couldn't have passed what they call the smell test. And that's even done
right
today. I listened to to a senator earlier who had a confrontation with a Supreme Court judge because the same process happened to one of his bills that he wanted that the judge had agreed to vote for. And so besides this one organization now being in power over all education, the H.R. 6 law also says that the Secretary of Education is authorized to award a grant or to enter into a contract with that one group and to carry out the program that they dictate. And again, it's just one agency that was authorized to change this national curriculum. And whatever expenses they would incur, the Department of Education said that they would pay for it by law. And the Department of Education also was not required to allow bids or consider any other group for writing these national standards. And the CCE had an exclusive inside track, and the CCE officers never run for office to get votes, or are they held accountable. And then to make things worse, in December of 2002, Congress passed the No Child Left Behind bill, and they had the same language, and the same group is in charge, and they cannot be challenged, period. And so the Congress has no idea what they signed or that our freedom is at liberty. And it's really a takeover, a bloodless coup. And here about 2 weeks ago, Arabian sheikh said exactly that. He said, "I'm financing a bloodless coup in America because the Arabs are paying for 70% for the printing of our textbooks." And what's behind it, at the front, it sounds good for everybody to have, you know, be at the same level no matter what state you're in, but they have a hidden agenda that this group has put in there. And the principal theme that's not being required to teach has 7 points: undermining the national sovereignty, redefining natural rights, minimizing natural law, promoting environmentalism, requiring multiculturalism, reconstructing government, and redefining education
wow.
as job skills. And when you look further into it, what Common Core, what's behind it, is really they have the same points that Marxism has. You know, I sent you the information of, you know, what I'm going to be teaching in this seminar come September 14th. It's called Exposing the Catastrophic Intentions of Common Core Education. And it says the federal government intends to hijack your children's mind to become mindless puppets of government dictates starting at age 3. And the federal government intends to destroy the family unit and take over the raising of the child. The federal government intends to steal your parental rights. They think parents are needed to reproduce children, but after that, they're portrayed as being detrimental to the child's education. And the federal government intends to destroy religion and the influence of church traditions. And in the end, the federal government intends to use Common Core education as a means and as a tool to have a bloodless coup in America. And those points, these are my words, but those points are the same as in the Marxist Manifesto, except they want
yep.
to destroy private property. That's not in this. But all the other points are the goals of Marxism. So that's really behind what they're trying to sell the American country. They don't mind if we argue about all these things. And they tricked the governors into accepting the money. That this Common Core wasn't even written before they put the hook out there and said, we'll give you some money, you know, towards the a Race to the Top program, and we give you waivers, you know, and so on. But by the way, you have to adhere to every point that is in the Common Core curriculum, no choice. And so the governor saw, you know, the money, and they needed the money, so they committed themselves for that. They didn't know what it was. It wasn't written. The tests weren't written. And now they're hooked and because they can't pay the money back, even though now that they're getting kind of a hint of what it is, they want out of it. But then I was talking to a representative the other day, and she says, if we do anything, we have to pay over $400 million back. So they're trapped, and even though they're trying to get out, and there are just so many things that are under this that even I grew up with after I went to school, or when I went to school after Hitler's regime collapsed. And it's the same thing, just as different names. And it falls in line with what Lenin preached about communism and Marxism, all the undermining of American values, all of that was in what he wrote when he was here. So that is, you know, what we're really facing, that it was signed into law by, you know, in 1994. And there's so many other, you know, tricks and so on of what they're doing. It has been, you know, this federal takeover is actually, education without representation. And wherever it has been and put into use, it has had a negative impact. Kentucky was the first one, the first state, to implement it totally. And in the following year, I think it was 2010, 2011, there, when they tested, the test scores went down by 30%. When they tested it the next year, 2012, it went down again. And the next, from 2012 to 2013, is out any time. But the people don't see, you know, that it would be any different because of what the program does. And it does not teach what parents think it teaches. It does not teach, the math and English and all of the academic things that we need. In fact, in English, they are phasing out classical literature, and they're putting in instruction booklets from different companies and fabrication booklets. In one place, they're even teaching restaurant menus. so, you know, it has, when you look back at it, to what has happened to American education, even, you know, from 1950 or 1900, it has steadily gone down, so that eventually they will just have puppets that just mindlessly follow whatever comes from the different governments. And so it is something, you know, worth fighting for, and people just need to realize there's a hidden agenda behind all of this, the destruction of America as we know it, period. So that's why I'm, you know, just really, my passion is to educate people so they will not just think it's about reading, writing, and arithmetic. Yes, it is. They're just teaching themes. You know, they're children that come home from school and you ask them what grade they receive, and they say, oh, I received an A for getting along with people. Not an A, you know, for math or English or anything else of academic nature, but just these other things and themes that will undermine our American standards. And if we don't do something, we will not have an America as we know it. We will be a socialist or Marxist nation.
Artie, I think a lot of people would ask the question. I mean, everything you say to me is very evident. It's like today you don't even have to read. And I was just saying this yesterday to a gentleman, but today you don't even have to do a lot of reading. All you have to do is pay attention a little bit, and you can see that, you know, the things that our government is saying that's healthy for us is obviously not. You know, if you just pay attention just a little bit. So,
well, they
the
have
thing is,
they have woven the green, the environmental sustainability that has been woven into this also.
Right.
And those things aren't, you know, what they're telling people, those aren't true either. Can you still hear me?
I think
it feels, sounds like there's a storm in between there.
Oh, I can't hear you, Lottie.
Well, I can't. I'm trying to talk loud, but there's a storm in between there.
Yeah,
hold on a second.
We do have a lot going
on. Hold on a minute.
Hey, let me ask you this. Okay.
Yeah, I went to another phone, but it was the same thing. But they have learned that, you know, to do it slyly. They try to have a program similar to Common Core with math in the 90s. With history, rather. And people were so upset that they did away with that. So then they learned, don't put it in so fast, suddenly, and put it in slyly and use lessons or subjects that are not as controversial. So now they're starting with math and with English, and they're not telling the truth, and all of that is part of their plan. Children are very frustrated. Because, like in Kentucky, when they were complaining that their children's grades dropped, the people in power said, well, it's because the tests are too hard. Well, in eighth grade, they're teaching eighth grade, but then they're giving ninth grade tests. Well, if you haven't taught the children, how are they going to pass it? It's just not, you know, it's just not possible. And don't mind even if people take their children out of school and put them in a Christian school or homeschool them. This program is designed that when they get to the time when they enter college, that because they don't have the right answers from Common Core, they will not qualify for college. And when they say college and career ready, they don't mean a four-year college like you and I think about. They mean a community college ready.
Right.
So all of the standards have been lowered. And this really has been going on for a long time. In the 60s, when my husband was at Fort Bragg, 82nd Airborne and Ranger and, you know, and Green Beret and so on, we lived off post. And my neighbor was really upset when they started, you know, busing children. She said she had two granddaughters, and one was very smart, It didn't matter. She didn't have to open the book. And she said they, you know, she got an A. But she had another granddaughter, and she could, you know, try as she might, and all she could get was a B at the most, you know, mostly a C. But then she went to another school, and they had changed the curriculum, and so all of a sudden she was an A student. You know, so this dumbing down of America has been going on for a long time. And there's a lady named Charlotte Israelite. She wrote a book 40-some years ago, the Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. And everything that she said in her book, which is still available, a little bit shortened, if you go to her site, and everything has come to pass. And so they have Americans have just been asleep. They just felt so safe. Didn't think that anybody would ever attack them or their education because it was so much higher than anything else in the world. It set the standard. But all along there were people who had something different in mind. And they wanted, you know, the children here to be like children in the poorest country there can be. So since they can't get up as fast, you know, to our level, they're bringing us down, our children, down to their level. And it just smells, you know, destruction all the way down the road. So that's why I'm, you know, putting on this. I'm sorry?
No, I'm sorry. Just giving the call letters. WM3G619638855 on the air with Audie Christ. Talking Common Core, talking the dumbing down of America, talking about society in general. Hey, let me ask you this, because I think a lot of people have the question in their minds right now. If they're listening to this show and this is all new to them, I think they're asking, you know, who are they? You know, who's behind it all? You know, we know it's the government, but, you know, what force is driving these people to do this, and why isn't anyone paying attention in terms of representatives?
Well, the list of people that are behind it is long. President Clinton and Mrs. Clinton have been long supporters of this as far as pushing this. Then there are some, you know, some other people that in this country that have been pushing it. There's Mark Tucker. He is the director of the National Center for Education, and a person named Lauren Resnick. She is the co-director of the New Standards Project. There's a person mm-hmm. named Charles Quigley. He is the director, of the Center for Civic Education, and Margaret Simmons. Well, Margaret Simmons Branson. She's the assistant director. Those are the people at the top that are pushing it. But it's like, you know, in the movie with Tom Cruise, Show Me the Money, if you follow the money trail, you know, there's a lot of money involved. And this is a private organization. They tend to make a lot of money. And Bill Gates has invested a lot of money in this. And he is, I think, like $100 million, and he stands ready to put another $150 million in it because the different states can, got money from the government for the first 2 years or 3 years, for the first 2 years, let's put it this way. And then it is up to the states to pay for it. The government is going to completely drop them, and the states are going to be left holding the bag. But there have to be new computers, whole new computers. Every computer in the school, in all the schools in all the states, have to be replaced. All the software have to be replaced. And they'll come from Bill Gates. The people that are now, there's one company that is printing books here, paid for by Arab countries. They will get the contract to reprint all of the books according to to the federal education standards. So there is a lot of money to be made in this by different private organizations. And there's even a conflict between that if you do this, you know, all the printing of the books and all of this, then you're not supposed to be making any money from that. But even that, the line has been crossed. So it is money behind it, and, you know, there is a trail that is, you know, just endless. Besides them, there are outside, you know, groups that want this country upside down. And so, you know, but it's these groups that, you know, that and these people that are behind pushing this. And, you know, I'm old enough to know what Mrs. Clinton, you know, did when she was just the first lady. And, you know, we're not talking about Obamacare, but people really screamed when she was ahead of putting in a health care system that is just like Obamacare. And she had to step back. She was like, people said, we didn't elect a co-president, you know, and Mr. Clinton had to take her off of that, and it was dropped. But that is also why it was ready when President Obama came in. You know, it was ready to go. So they have been very instrumental in, you know, pushing this forward and pushing to a socialist and really a dictatorship.
Talking to Dr. Artie Christ, talking about Common Core, there's a lot of different things that are going on. And you know, just like what you just said, this stuff is happening right under our noses. You know, and a lot of the things that I would say our federal government says that the things that are good for us, you know, really aren't in the long run. I mean, you can look at something like healthcare and see that it can make an immediate impact on your life for someone who is sick and needs that type of benefit. You know, for someone who can't afford their medicine, people who can afford to get quality healthcare would say that, you know, hey, I need something like this. I support healthcare in this nation. I support government-funded healthcare. But what we find out is that we give up a lot of our individual rights. We give up our will to live because we don't control it anymore, simply because it's paid for and distributed by the federal government. So,
well,
you know, looking at something like healthcare, I just wanted to ask you, you know, what do you feel about healthcare, public-funded healthcare, or federally funded healthcare?
Well, again, you have a problem. You know, number one, what I don't like about this, what we have right now, that so many people have been exempted. You know, the illegal aliens can get all the healthcare that they want. It has been said, and I don't have that piece, you know, that paper in front of me, but it says you will be able to get healthcare. We will just, you know, pay for it through the money that we can collect from the taxpayers. The unions have been exempted. All of the federal employees, the senators and representatives and their employees, they have been exempted. You know, so the people that actually could pay for things, they have been exempted. But it goes back to control. They want to control everything. For instance, you know, it had a different name, but it's the same thing. They instituted this in Germany. When my mother was in her mid-70s, she needed to have a replacement of a device that she had in her chest for her heart. And they told her that she was too old, that they could never recoup through taxes what it would cost for her to have this operation. So they would never okay that. And see, that
right.
is part what's connected. That's what people don't understand. Yes, they're going to need these life-saving operations and procedures, but there will be a board that can say, no, you can't have this. And see, that's what hasn't sunk in yet.
Absolutely.
And to all of this, whether it's school or whether it's health care, they have tried it in other countries, and it hasn't worked. In Sweden, they have 80% income tax, but they've paid for everything. And they're going broke because people are going there. Also, you know, the Muslims and from other countries, they have an open-door policy. The same just a couple of days ago, Finland just changed theirs. They were known as the most generous welfare nation in Europe, and they can't afford it anymore. So they have upped the retirement age, and they have just done away with all sorts of things. The thing doesn't work. There aren't enough people to pay into the till to pay for everything that the others can pay for or what they're exempted from. But I know from personal experience
right.
with my mother that there will be a board that will decide your life and death situation, and they'll just stand by. And it has already happened with cancer patients, where they have denied treatment and the people have died. Had they received treatment, those people would have lived. And so, you know, I am not in for this at all. When, you know, when I came to this country, I liked the American ingenuity. You know, something needed to be done. The Americans got it done, not the government, you know, but the Americans. And competition is the best thing that there can be, not federal takeover. You know, entrepreneurs, people that start businesses, you know, let them deal with this and not the federal government. You know, people will get good health care and you know, because capitalism works.
Capitalism absolutely works. 619-638-8559. I hope that a lot of people are paying attention to what you're saying and the way that you're saying it, because you know what? That's my message. I try to simplify it and make it real life. And I can speak from personal experience being on welfare as a child. You know, I understand how the system works. Also, being an employer, you know, I've had to fill out several forms and documents for people who were on welfare and got off or were trying to get some sort of assistance or what may have you, and also understanding health care programs and working in HR and et cetera, et cetera. So I understand firsthand how the federal government works with requirements and forms and deadlines. And, you know, when you try to make it first person for people, you know, one thing that I tell them is that, you know, you're waiting on that letter any day. You know, that same letter you got to say, I'm coming to inspect your house, because we want to make sure that no one's staying in there that shouldn't be staying in there, or making sure that you're not making X amount of dollars, or we need to see your bank account to make sure that you don't have more than $3,000 in there, or check stubs, or, you know, blah, 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 blah. They never stop with the paper trail. So their intentions is not to help you, because if they want to help you sincerely, they tax you less and listen to you more. That's
right.
That's never going to happen. You know, so the federal government isn't asking for our. They're just trying to separate the people from their position as a federal leader. You know, they want to have something different, and they actually do have a different health care plan than what American citizens will have, or what they're offering up to American citizens. And to me, that's just scary when you have to ask the government for permission to get a certain kind of prescription, you know, or have a certain kind of medical procedure. You know, who can you do? Who makes those decisions?
As far as
so,
business goes,
you know, that should be a scary
thing. I don't know
why
I'm interrupting you or not. There's so much noise, but go ahead.
No, no problem. I mean, you know, we're having a conversation. So anytime you feel like talking,
it's fine. In Germany, for the longest time, too, it wasn't just control that, but the government, decided what hours the businesses would be open. When they could have a sale, they would have to be stuff from inside their store. It couldn't be anything, you know, to come in. You could not have a second job. You had one job, and that was it. It was against the law to have a second job. They would call it like a black market job. And, you know, in recent years, I hear that
right.
has changed. But, you know, they're promoting, our government is promoting European-type things for, or has been for so long, as that is the answer to everything. But it just goes against everything that America stands for, and that's competition, capitalism. You know, who wants their hours curtailed by the government? You know, you couldn't stay open on Sunday, because we have, you know, that has been done away with in this country for a long time. But the only time that you could be open on the evenings would be on Thursday. One day a week, you know, and so it's just all of this. It has not worked in other countries where they have tried it. My question for so long has been, if it hasn't worked there, why are they trying to put it in here, you know, and run this country into the ground? It's just not, you know, it just doesn't make any sense of why somebody would want to take down America. We've been the standard in education and capitalism, and that's why people come here. But then when they come here, they want to change it to what they left behind in their country. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So my passion has just been, as you know from before, from giving my you know, testimony and so on, and to now the Common Core problem. You know, that's why I put this conference together for the 14th of September. It will be here in Kannapolis. It's going to be an all-day thing. There will be a charge, but it is on Eventbrite, and it is under the name Exposing the Catastrophic Intentions of Common Core Education. So it will be all day long. Lunch will be included. They can, you know, also contact me, or they can contact you, and you can give them, you know, my contact information if that's, you know, better. But people just need to wake up they're trusting their, you know, the people that they elect, they vote for, and then they check out and say, well, this is it for the next 4 years, for the next 6 years. You can't do that anymore. The other side is more intense and busier in destroying this country than the Americans are in preserving it. Oh, by the way, it's Chris.
Let me ask you this, too, because Chris, sorry. And I always get that wrong. Sorry about that, Ali.
That's okay.
I will get it right from now on. Someone actually corrected me, and I wrote them back. No, it's this way. So it shows you how stubborn I am. But thanks for the correction out there, too, by the way. And that was one of the producers, so I should have been listening to start with it. Our government officials on this, you know, where are our government officials on this, and who's, is there any one or two or few senators or congressmen, period, or any government officials out there that are speaking on the same lines of what you're saying?
Well, the one that I can speak of here for North Carolina is Richard Hudson. You know, he has been really open and instrumental in pursuing this. Our lieutenant governor here in North Carolina, Dan Forrest, is pursuing this Common Core problem, and so on. Here recently, he posed 67 questions to the Department of Instruction here in North Carolina, and they asked him, well, in order for us to answer those 67 questions, we need 10,000 pieces of paper. So they went out and they bought 10,000 pieces of computer paper and delivered it to their office. You know, so it's one of these things will overwhelm you with information.
Wow.
And the questions that could have been answered yes or no, they were lengthily answered, and it really didn't make any sense because they don't know really what's going on either. You know, they're being snowed under with all the information the language even sometimes sounds the same, and they make it sound like they're talking our language. But then when you look behind it, they have a different meaning to the same words that we use, just like the communists used to do during the Cold War. You know, I mean, they could tell you one thing and you thought you understood it, but they meant something completely different. And that is the same thing with Common Core. And the other things, you know, that are connected with it, the environmental sustainability and so on. And, you know, our brain does not have those meanings in our brain, and so our mind doesn't. And so we still connect it to what we know or what we think, but they mean something completely different. So it's really, you know, people, parents just need to educate themselves to pull their children out, you know, of school, because that's exactly what they're doing. They are indoctrinating our children, and they have started, they have passed a law and a program to put three-year-olds now into, you know, a kindergarten-type stuff where they can then also have a program to be, indoctrinated. And also, besides the students being frustrated, the teachers are frustrated. The good teachers are frustrated because they cannot teach what they spend all their lives learning and you know, through colleges and so on, and what they've been teaching. They're not allowed to teach that anymore. There's so much stuff. I read something today where this one teacher, you know, complained. She says, for the last 12 days, she has had her class in her room for 45 minutes. All the rest of the time has been taken up with taking those tests that Common Core requires. And she said they'll do it again the middle of the year, and then they'll do some others. She said they'll spend more time doing these pointless tests than I have them in my room to teach. And so, you know, then their hope is of government is that those teachers will get disgusted and leave. The ones that do stay behind, they will be retrained. Retraining meaning into this common core, you know, Marxist type thinking. And they don't know any difference, you know. So then once they, if they stop going, then they have the teachers from Teach for America waiting in the wings, and they have all of 6 weeks of training, and they will be in the classroom teaching the children. You know, so it is just, people just need to get involved. There are just more people that are homeschooling, even though the government is going to make it hard for them to get into college because they will not know the Common Core preferred answers. The children will still have a better education. And even there, the government is interfering. Hello? Are you there? Pachi, can you hear me? Whenever you can hear me, let me know. It sure sounds like you're having a big storm. But the teachers are very frustrated. The government is giving the states 15% to put some of their curriculum in, but that 15% never shows up on any tests. So they will never get credit for that. Are you there?
I think a lot of people, a lot of teachers are frustrated with what's going on and a lot of the curriculum, too. It seems like a lot of the history that was once taught. Well, to me, you know, to me in this country, history never has been taught the way it should be taught in the first place. And if you ask, you know, today, if you ask a child of the age of anywhere around 23 and below, or an adult, you know, between 23 and 18, you know, who was Adolf Hitler, I would say over 50% couldn't tell you who Adolf Hitler was. And
oh, I think
if we
it's
forget
higher
a
than
time,
that.
I'm sorry?
I think it's higher than that. The percentage
higher than that. Yeah, definitely higher than that. I would go out on a limb and say it would be, you know, 80 or possibly 90% of young adults between the ages of 18 and 23 to 25, I'll say. And that's a scary thought because, you know, if you forget such a time like that in history and such an event like that, you know, you're doomed to repeat it. And I think this is where we are with this Common Core at this point in this nation, where a lot of people who are voters now, a lot of young adults who are voters now, they're so overly liberal-minded and so heavily bombarded by the liberal mindset that they can't think for themselves for a minute. And they can't go, hey, hold on a second, you know, this is not what it seems like. You know, I hear what you're saying, but this is not all the way right. What about this part of it? What happens? You know, they don't think about the future. They don't think about the chain reaction. So, you know, the premise of having health care for everybody sounds good, but how do you pay for it? And then what happens if I don't want this health care? You know, what happens if it's not sustainable? So, you know, this is where we are, Dr. Chris.
Well, and the age group that you mentioned, you know, up to 25, they are also the ones in the senators and in the representatives' office who do the reading and pass it on, because the law clerks in those offices, the staff, they don't want to read it either. So it's passed on to the 20-somethings who have no clue what's important and what's not important, because they don't have anything to fall back on. They don't know about any of this. You know, mention the McCarthy era and communism, they have no clue what that means. There is no protective, you know, mechanism in them to say, hey, you know, they've done this before, we can't have this. It's not there because they're not taught. And there is a representative here in North Carolina, in Raleigh. He wants to make it a law that the schools do not teach any history before, I think he said, 1848. Well, that leaves all of North Carolina's history out, you know, that everything that they did to fight for this, if they even had the, you know, the Constitution or the our Constitution, you know, a year before it was ratified in, you know, in Congress.
Right.
They had it here in 1775 in North Carolina and then here in Mecklenburg County in Tavares County. So, you know, but he doesn't want that taught. So there, you know, and people just don't pay attention. They are part of what Lenin had in his writings was that, you know, in order to conquer a people, bombard them with pleasures and with, like football and sports and you know, vacations and all of that kind of stuff where they cannot pay attention. They're more pleasure-minded than they're government-minded. And that's one
Absolutely.
Way to undermine and take over a country.
And we're definitely at that point in this nation. I mean, we really don't pay attention to the things that matter. And the things that, you know, don't matter, we put our primitive focus on. It seems like the things that do matter, they depend on the most popular political type or political personality. You know, and that's all hyped up by news already, you know, by the media.
Well, you know, for instance, UNCC here in Charlotte had their first ever football game here on Friday. They had the stadium full, which was 16,000 people. Okay, you try to get that many people together to fight Common Core and Obamacare and all of that, and they won't show up. You know, they just don't bother me in my ignorance. Just don't let me know, you know. So that's more important. 16,000 people to watch somebody throw, or several bodies, throw down an over pigskin. You know, to me, preserving this country is more important. And I was, you know, in the past, I've been a sports fan. I mean, not, you know, overly. I've been in sports and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And in Germany was very competitive, whether it's for sports or shooting. I was a sharpshooter before I came over, and so on. So I understand that. But my passion is in preserving this country. You know, I agree with President Kennedy. Ask not what this country can do for you. Ask what you can do for this country. And you know, that's why I'm, you know, up all hours of the day. You see my stuff on Facebook, you know, and
yeah.
I'm on there not to play games, but to wake people up. You know, it's just a passion that I have to infect as many people as I can with this passion for liberty, passion for capitalism, you know, and just waking them up. It has just increased. Besides, you know, all the 50 years that I've done it before, it's come down to the wire. Either we do something, you know, or we're sunk.
Mm.
It is easier to do something beforehand than it is afterwards. If Obamacare, you know, becomes law, we are in trouble. There isn't enough money in this world to pay for Obamacare.
No, I
and
think
then
I read
get
a
it
stat
out
somewhere.
Afterwards, you know, that's like digging yourself out of a grave. It won't happen.
You know, I think I read a stat somewhere that was talking about how much money was spent now on healthcare, on public-funded healthcare. And I was reading, and it says something that something to the tune of, and it was way less than this, but I forget the actual number, but it was something like 10%. Of the people on healthcare, public funded healthcare,
yeah.
uses 75% of the healthcare budget.
That's right.
And
you know, and everything. The government is a matter of control. If you watch the pictures from Syria, you see that people standing in line and getting their things like tortillas or tacos or something,
yeah.
That bread, that is from a government store.
Damn.
So they can't even bake bread at home themselves. It is the government. It's a government bakery where they pick those things up. I don't want that to happen here. You know, so it's just yes, we have, you know, the different places where you can get food if you have to make it through a hard time, if you've lost a job or something like that, so you get something else. But all those people standing in line are standing in line for those flat pancake type things. And I remember from people telling me that when it was East Germany, people would stand for an hour, 4 hours in the front of grocery stores, going around the block because they had just gotten in some, you know, some groceries, not even everything. They would stand in those lines just to get onions so they could make onion soup because that's all they had to eat. And sometimes by the time the last ones would get there, there were no onions left. The same thing with meat. They would get meat in. It came from China, and the meat would be yellow, and the people would stand in line. And one of the most, every once in a while, this picture creeps up on the Facebook where there's this old woman standing in a grocery store. The whole grocery store is empty, but there's just one loaf of bread left in the whole store, and she's the only one in that store. And then I was watching on PBS, I was watching a program called Spoiled War. It is about times in England during the war. And then police came in, and I couldn't understand what they were looking for. But they busted into the house, and there was a conspiracy, like you were watching one of the, you know, the detective shows here. And actually what they were after was that these people had extra food, more than their ration cards allowed them to have, and that they were selling it under the counter. And they were being prosecuted for that. So, you know, it's just the things that could happen if they get in Washington and the federal government has their way, we're going to be under the heels of the boot. And our children and our grandchildren will bear the marks of boots on their backs. And I just, you know, I keep on talking to people, to anybody that wants to listen, and even some of the ones that don't want to listen. I don't want anybody to tell me later on, you knew and you should have told us. So I'm talking.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, because
that's right.
When I give my testimony in schools, one of the things that I hear, even though my family helped Jews and my father helped the Dutch, when they were stationed there. In the mid-30s, my mother helped the Jews. You know, when I talk about that, the question that I will get from students is, why didn't the Germans do something? You know, well, the news there was worse than it is here. The news here has been affected by the federal government. That's another story. But there, everything came out of a Nazi news service, you know, so we didn't know any different. And then people say, well, they should have. You know, they should have known, the Germans. Well, nobody's going to tell me, you know, that I should have told. I'm telling. You know, and if you really get into what the federal government has in store, and you can check this out, because I can't think of the year right now, but the federal government demanded that even PBS and the different shows or the different networks, when they show cartoons, they are required by law to show 3 hours of cartoons with their message in it.
So
people think that it's safe to put kids in front of TV. Well, they're getting this indoctrination. Even on Sesame Street, Bert and Ernie were said to to be gay. My kids didn't grow up with that message when they watched it.
Not at all.
You know, so and then the media, they're not reporting anymore, and I've got that here, but it's too long. It is that they are required to support what comes out of Washington, what comes out of from the president and so on, and you can't even challenge that anymore. And if you're, you know, you might be able to, you know the difference of what they used to report. Now, Walter Cronkite, you know, nobody is perfect, and he wasn't perfect. But he reported the news in a different way than what you see on TV now. You don't see people on television challenging the administration. And if they do, mm-hmm. they're fired the next day. You know, like that guy the reporter in Tennessee. He criticized yeah. President Obama, and he got fired the next day.
Yep, and it's happened several times.
I'm sorry?
And it's happened several times on several different news sources.
You know, so it's just they want total control. And people, when I mentioned that the government and the different departments that President Obama has under him, when I mentioned that, he has filled the leadership of those groups with Muslims and Muslim Brotherhood people, they really get upset with me, and they want to know the names. I says, listen, I'm from Germany, and I'm from here, and I can't pronounce all those names, but you can go and look it up. And every time that, you know, there's an opening, he puts somebody in there or somebody with really liberal, you know, ideas. Here, somebody is now waiting to be confirmed as the part of the EPA, as the leader of the EPA. I think it has something to do with coal and all of that. He is that person that is being considered is against all forms of known power sources, whether it's coal or whether it's wind, anything like that, he's against. So why is he being put in charge of this department that is supposed to be supporting that? It just doesn't make sense. You know, and it's just, but people aren't following it. Sometimes they say it's just too confused, you know, there's too much confusion, and I wash my hands of it. But they can't do that, you know. They're the ones that have to do something. The first person that President Obama, you know, put into the Office of Education Secretary was a child molester. You know, why would you put him in a position like that? So people need to pay attention. They need to pay attention on the local level, you know, when they still have a lot of more control. Once they get elected, if they have the attitude, I'm here, and you just shut up.
Yeah.
You know, so
And we give them that power, too.
They're not vetted. They're not checked out. And at the local level, everybody knows everybody, so they should be checking them out. You know, are they true when they tell you what they tell you, or are they just using, you know, that platform to get in? You know, we've had several people, as, you know, here in North Carolina that have said that they were, or they changed to the Republican side because they knew they couldn't get elected as Democrats, but then once they were in, they changed back to the Democratic way of thinking, even so, as to the point as to, you know, supporting abortion and supporting Obamacare.
Amazing.
You know, and some of those people I voted for and helped elect, you know, and worked in the office, and I'm just really upset. You know,
I understand that 1,000%.
You know, I have Senator Burr, you know, stood right in front of me here at the GOP office and said all the things that he was going to do. Well, he hasn't done anything in Washington, or he is backfired. He's gone back on his word. And it's good that he is not running for office again, because he wouldn't make it back in, because he would have so many people, you know, working against him because he's betrayed so many people.
And that's why he's not running.
Yeah, and the people, you know, that once they get in, a lot of them are millionaires, but they have to remember the money that they get paid from the government is from our tax money. And people need to get involved, and if they don't, you know, vote the way the people want them to vote, then fire them. No more tax money. You know, there's no security. There shouldn't be any security. You know, if you and I did that for our employees or for our own businesses, we wouldn't be in business for long or have a job for long.
We'd be out of here.
Yeah.
Real quick.
You know, so this double standard just, you know, can't, you know, stay in place. But mostly, you know, what I'm concerned about, because they cannot speak for themselves, is the children. I have grandchildren and I have great-grandchildren. And I don't want them to say, why didn't you do something? You know, and so I just want to pass that along to other people and, you know, be a thorn in their side. And even though they don't want to look, I want to make them look. I said, you have to. You owe it to your children, your grandchildren. You know, they can't do anything. You know, it just, look at all the, you know, the abductions and things like that. Even when you think you're watching them, they steal the kids out from under you, you know. And then there's, that is easier to see than if they're doing something to your kids in school. But somebody, I can't remember right the second who it was, they said that every morning parents drive up to the school and let their children out into a foreign country to be indoctrinated with whatever that teacher believes, and then they bring him back and hardly eat dinner with them before they put him in, you know, back to bed, and then in the morning they do the same thing. They willingly participate in the indoctrination of their children. So, you know, something needs to happen to wake people up. And if it makes them uncomfortable, good. You know, they have just been set on automatic for so long, and they have trusted the schools, when actually they have, you know, they should have been more aware of what's going on. And the schools have been, their universities have been a breeding ground for liberal teachers, for socialist teachers, because, you know, it started a long time ago. It started in the 1700s, and it just keeps on going, and they just, you know, keep on having children, and then, you know, grandchildren and great-grandchildren of all these, you know, free thinkers, and we have to put a stop to it. So it's, you know, it's a tough a problem to have, but I'm hoping that enough people will wake up. You know, sometimes it seems overwhelming, but then, you know, Elijah complained to the Lord, I'm the only one that's left. Nobody is, you know, talking about you and respecting you but me. And God says, I have a remnant of 7,000. So I'm determined to be one of the remnants. You know, talking to people about respect for God and respect for the children, because they are his creation. Are you there?
No, that's what I'm talking about right there, man.
Yeah,
listen,
let
me ask you this, and right before we, it's almost time to close the show, but I wanted to, before we left, you know, when you said something has to be done, I think, you know, some of these events that you're having, September 14th, Exposing Common Core, you know, that's doing something. And the event on the 26th, you know, that's doing something. So, you know, just before you go, let the people know how they can get tickets for your event or how they can attend your event on the 14th. And just tell us about the event on the 26th, if you will, briefly.
Okay, on the 14th, the Vandavan Common, the Problems with Common Core, that is on Eventbrite. They can go to Eventbrite and put in Exposing the Catastrophic Intentions of Common Core Education, and they can order their tickets there. Or if they have, you know, problems with that, they can contact me for more information. Since there's a storm on here, they can contact me at oddycrist, oddycrist, as in Tom, at ctc.net. And they can get more information, and the same thing goes for the event on the 26th. Like I said earlier, we hope to have it up. I thought it was up earlier about the event that you're going to be in, the American Liberty Celebration. But if they have problems with that, they can contact me, and we will work that out, and I will give them the information on how to attend that. Both of those events are going to be absolutely great. I look forward to hearing you and Jan, you know, just fall in right with the subject of American Liberty Celebration. And the choir is Community Impact Production, and that the members are from several different churches, and they are a nonprofit group, and they're absolutely great, and they're going to give us some patriotic music. So I invite everybody to, you know, go to those locations to get their tickets, and we're planning on, you know, making a difference.
We'll definitely do that. And September 26th, don't forget, folks, American Liberty Celebration, Cabarrus County, September 26th again at 6:30 p.m. That's a Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a Thursday. Yeah, about the buffet will start at 6:30. The program will start at 7.
All right, so get there, folks. Get there early. Remember, it's $25 per person. Jan Morgan, myself, CIP Choir. I mean, that's a heck of a deal, I think. So I hope that I'll see you folks there. Chris, you've been
The all-day event on the 14th, including lunch, is $50.
So there it is, folks. Hey, when people ask if something can be done, you know, there are always somebody out there making something happen. There are always people like yourself out there working. And that's why I love to have people such as yourself on the show to enlighten me and us and all of my listeners and, you know, inspire us and spark us through the week. So, you know, Dr. Chris, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I can't wait to have you on again.
Well, I appreciate the platform. If anybody has questions, they should write you. And, you know, you can pass them along to me, and we can cover those on another show.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. We'll definitely do that. I'll be looking forward to that.
Well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate the platform, and I wish you good night.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Chris, and have a good night. I'll see you soon.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Thanks for listening to the KRP Radio Show, folks. September will be a busy month for you. Boy, you know, we got football going on, as I talked about earlier. And, you know, my mentor program with those kids, 6 to 13. And, you know, hey, man, that's my everything right now. I got a few speaking engagements. I'll be in Cabarrus. I'll be in Mecklenburg County. I'll be in the mountains. You know, look for the dates on the Facebook page. It's facebook.com/KRP Radio Show. Also be in Joe Miyoki in the mountains at a tea party. All right, so I hope that everybody will join me out there at the tea party in Joe Miyoki on the 28th. My family will be there along with your family. Hope to see you guys there. I have a message for the people that day, so I cannot wait for you guys to attend that with us. Thanks for listening to the KRP Radio Show. Baby, you are B-I-G in my book. And we'll catch you guys next week as we talk about fair tax. So make sure you tune in next week. We're going to talk about some fair taxes, all right? Have a good weekend. One love.
KIRP Radio!
Real gon' recognize, real gon' recognize, real gon' recognize, real phony gon' recognize, still, I reckon I will.
Like we always do with this time, I go for mine, I get to shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky.